glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Evam Giditra Priyaya Abhibhashita Pratyabhyat Tata Prahasan Suhrit Priya Samsmarito Marmabidha Kuvag Ishun Yan Aha Ko Vishva Srijam Samakshata Rishir Uvacha Evam Giritra Priyaya Bibhashita Pratyabhyadatta Prahasan Suhrit Priya Samsmarato marma pita kuvag ishun Yan aha ko vishva shrijam samakshata Rishir uvacha Evam giritra priyaya bibhashyata Pratyabhyadatta Prahasan Suhrit Priya Samsmarato Marma Bidak Kuvak Ishun Yan Ahako Vishvashijam Samakshata Rishir Uvacha Evam Giditra Priyaya Bibhashyata Pratyabhyadatta Prahasan Suhrit Priya Samsmarato Marma Pita Kuvag Ishun Yan aha ko vishva shijam samakshata
ladies. Rishi Uvacha.
The great sage Maitreya said, Evam,
thus,
Giditra,
Lord Shiva,
Priya, by his dear wife, Abhibhashita, being spoken to, Pratyabhyadhata replied, Prahasan, while smiling, Suhrit Priya, dear to the relatives, Samsmarita, remembering, Marmabidha, heart piercing, Kuvak Ishun, malicious words, yan, which words, aha, said, ka, who, daksha, vishvasrijam, of the creators of the universal manifestation, samakshita, in the presence. The great sage Maitreya said, Lord Shiva, the deliverer of the hill, Kailash, having thus been addressed by his dear wife, replied smilingly. Although at the same time he remembered the malicious, heart-piercing speeches delivered by Daksha before the guardians of the universal affairs. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Lord Shiva heard from his wife about Daksha, the psychological effect was that he immediately remembered the strong words spoken against him in the assembly of the guardians of the universe. And remembering these words, he was sorry at heart. Although to please his wife, he smiled. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that a liberated person is always in mental equilibrium in both distress and the happiness of this material world. Therefore, the question may now be raised, why a liberated personality like Lord Shiva was so unhappy because of the words of Daksha? The answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Lord Shiva is Atmarama, or situated in complete self-realization. But because he is the incarnation in charge of the material mode of ignorance, Tamoguna, he is sometimes affected by the pleasure and pain of the material world. The difference between the pleasure and pain of this material world and that of the spiritual world is that in the spiritual world the effect is qualitatively absolute. Therefore, one may feel sorry in the absolute world, but the manifestation of so-called pain is always full of bliss. For instance, once Lord Krishna, in his childhood, was chastised by his mother, Yashoda, and Lord Krishna cried. But although he shed tears from his eyes, this is not to be considered a reaction of the mode of ignorance, for the incident was full of transcendental pleasure. When Krishna was playing in so many ways, Sometimes it appeared that he caused distress to the gopis, but actually such dealings were full of transcendental bliss. That is the difference between the material and spiritual worlds. The spiritual world, where everything is pure, is pervertedly reflected in this material world. Since everything in the spiritual world is absolute, in the spiritual varieties of apparent pleasure and pain, there is no perception other than eternal bliss. Whereas in the material world, because everything is contaminated by the modes of material nature, there are feelings of pleasure and pain. Therefore, because Lord Shiva, although a fully self-realized person, was in charge of the material mode of ignorance, he felt sorrow. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatishva Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna. I am so grateful to be here on this holy day of Sarat Purnima. Especially so grateful to see His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj back at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari. Of course, he is always at the lotus feet of Radharas Bihari, but today we can see with our own eyes. To my dear God brother Mahamuni Prabhu, and to all of you, my gratitude. I was given a message that Brajahari Prabhu, our beloved president, wished me to speak on the subject of the importance of the month of Kartik. By Sri Radharas Bihari's divine arrangement, this particular purport that just happened to be today is quite appropriate. Srila Prabhupada is focusing on the principle of spiritual pleasure. In the spiritual world, when one is reconnected with Krishna through love, even the apparent pain is nothing but ecstatic pleasure. And he is giving several examples. Today, the first day of Kartik, we celebrate Sarat Purnima, the day of Krishna's Rasa Lila. Lord Shiva, who we are reading about, he also participated in the Rasa Lila. He wanted so much to see this Rasa Lila, more than anything. He is Atmarama, self-satisfied. He is the Lord of creation. But how he longed to not only see, but participate and render service to Krishna and his beloved devotees as they were performing this pastime. But it is so confidential. Sometimes people think, let me just go right to Raslila. Srila Prabhupada tells, when people are giving Bhagavat Saptaha, oftentimes their main focus is on the Raslila. So popular. The first time in I rode on an airplane in Air India, there was pictures of Ras Lila on the walls. Very, very popular pastime. But what people do not understand, it is the highest level of spiritual perfection. It is not that we can just talk about Ras Lila and we're in the Ras Lila. Even Lord Shiva was not given entrance into the Ras Lila. What is our position? He had to perform tapasya. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. He's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So great that previously, to please the Lord, he was willing to drink unlimited quantities of deadly poison. Because he knew that there is nothing in this world that pleases the Lord more than showing compassion to those who are suffering. He was willing to do that. And he's always immersed in meditation on Krishna. But Lord Shiva was not given entrance into Rasa-lila because he didn't have the consciousness of a gopi. Even Lakshmi was not given entrance. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the consort of Narayan, she was not qualified because she didn't have the perfect, pure spirit of love of the damsels of Vrindavan. What is our position? Lakshmi did tapasya. She could see it, but she could not enter it. Shiva performed tapasya. And by the blessings and mercy of Lalita, the friend of Sri Radha, he was told to take his bath in Mansarovar, which was filled by the tears of Radharani's separation from Krishna. And taking his bath there, he came out with body of gopi and sentiment of gopi. Gopeshwar Mahadev. And even he was given the service of being the guardian of the Rasa-lila. Highest thing, to serve the Lord and his beloved devotees. And if it is the Lord's will, he will bring us in. But what will attract Krishna's mercy? What will access that grace? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, Gopi Bharthur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anu Das. To feel oneself Anu. Very, very small. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis of Vrindavan. That aspiration attracts Krishna. Srila Prabhupada tells that this full moon night of the Sarat season is the most beautiful moon of the whole year. When this Vrindavan Chandra, when this moon was rising, Vrindavan Chandra, the moon of Vrindavan, Krishna, he felt deep ecstatic desire to give the highest pleasure to his devotees and to experience the highest joy himself. On the bank of the Yamuna, under the Bamsiba tree, he played upon his flute. Not just music, as we know. There are professional flute players who play very nice, and it mystifies our mind. But Krishna's flute, the intimate, infinite love of his heart, he blows through the holes of his flute. It manifests as the sweetest of all songs. Permeates the environment. Enters into the ears of gopis and then into their hearts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when that flute entered into the ears of gopis, it was like a bird going in and then making a nest to block anything else out. They could not hear anything, see anything, think of anything except Krishna. Krishna was calling them. When the call of the Lord came to the gopis, their only ambition was to please him. And despite all obstacles, they abandoned all attachments to their families, to social acceptability, to Vedic injunctions. Risk great danger without even consideration in their original spiritual bodies. They went into the forest of Vrindavan to meet Gopinath. Or more precisely, Ras Bihari. But tonight at Radha Gopinath temple, more precisely will be Gopinath. Sriman Rasara Sarambi Bamsi Vatatatastita Karshan Venu Swanara Gopi or Gopinatha Sri Estanaha. As they hurried through the forest, they did not consider any material conceptions. Some of them even, because they were being stopped by their relatives, by Krishna's arraignment, just to fulfill their burning desire to please him, they manifested material bodies that stayed home while they left in their spiritual bodies. And when they came to that holy site that Krishna was standing, Krishna was so pleased. Oh, you have come to see the beautiful forest of Vrindavan. And you have abandoned everything just to see me. Now you should be satisfied. You should be satisfied because you have fulfilled your ambition, but you have duties to the Vedas to return and serve your families. So please go home. They wept and they cried, Krishna, our only love is you. You are the super soul in everyone's heart. When you leave a person's body, they are dead. No one loves a dead body. The only person that anyone ever loves is you, and only you. You are the all-attractive one. You have stolen our hearts. We have given everything only for you. Krishna was pleased and satisfied the gopis. They were laughing and they were joking together. And Krishna was so kind to each of them that each was thinking that Krishna is giving such attention, such affection to me. Krishna sensed pride in their hearts. Suddenly, he disappeared. And gopis were looking everywhere, crying, weeping, calling out his names, going through the forest, asking the trees, the deers, the moon, the stars, the skies, the leaves, the flowers, everything. Have you seen the son of Nanda? Intoxicated in their immersion in remembering Krishna. Together they were enacting his transcendental pastimes. As they were searching, they saw two sets of footprints. And they realized that Krishna had left all of us because there was one particular gopi whose love and devotion to him is supreme. In this particular incident, we find the crescendo of all Vedic literatures, where Shukadeva Goswami is revealing the real essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the love between Radha and Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami was not able to even speak Sri Radha's name or any of the names of the gopis in conjugal love. The acharyas explain perhaps it was because there were people who were not qualified to hear such a subject directly. And also because he himself is a resident of Vrindavan. If he speaks Sri Radha's names or any of these gopis who have the highest, purest and deepest love for Krishna, he may go into an ecstatic trance and interrupt his service to Maharaj Parikshit to speak the Bhagavatam within 7 days. But in this particular passage that we are about celebrating today, the supreme glory of Sri Radha's love has been revealed to the world. This is the essence and culmination of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikrati Arthadini Shakti Ashmat. That the Absolute Truth is one, but the Lord manifest two forms eternally, as the supreme enjoyer and the supreme enjoyed, as the supreme beloved Krishna and the supreme lover Sri Radha. He is the Hladini Shakti, she is the Hladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord, the source and reservoir of all love, all devotion. As we are all part and parcel of Krishna, whatever love is dormant within our heart is part and parcel of the love of Sri Radha. And Krishna is conquered even by the love of any living being who loves Him pure, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. But the supreme source, origin of all love, that is Srimati Radharani. And in the highest pastime of all pastimes, He wanted to reveal this to the world. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Chaitanya Charitamrita begins where Srimad Bhagavatam ends. The culmination of Bhagavatam, after describing pure devotional service through various great Paramhamsa Vaishnavas, we find the love of Radha for Krishna. Even Krishna cannot understand that love. Although He is the knower of everything past, present, and future. So Krishna takes the complexion of Srimati Radharani and the spirit of pure devotion, the love of Radharani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Krishna tells His eternal consort, I am going to incarnate to taste the sweetness of your love. I am going to enter deeply into your heart to taste the sweetest of all ecstasies. Why? Because although I'm the reservoir of all pleasure, I see when you taste my love, you experience tens and millions of times more happiness than I do. So Lord Chaitanya comes, Krishna to taste the sweetness of Radha's love. And Sri Radharani says, but when you come, you will roll in the ground in ecstasy whenever you chant your own holy names. So to protect you, I will cover your body with my own golden complexion. And Lord Chaitanya comes to distribute that love to the world. Then they find that Krishna left Sri Radha also, because she became proud that He has left everyone only for me. All the gopis were together, and they came to the bank of Yamuna, and they sang Krishna's names and glories, the Gopi Gita, songs of separation. Krishna appeared before them. The gopis asked Krishna, can you explain? Some people, they are affectionate to friends who show them affection, but not others. Other people, they are affectionate and eager to serve, even to those who do not reciprocate and who are inimical or even indifferent to them. And other people, they're not affectionate to anyone. They're asking this question because they wanted to know why. They gave their lives only for him. Why did he leave? Krishna replied that a so-called friend will show affection to another friend who is affectionate toward him or her. Those people, their motive is only to benefit themselves. And if they do not expect to get the pleasure of that person's affection, they will stop all service. They will cut the connection. These are false friends. But those who are really merciful, or who are like parents, they are naturally affectionate. They will serve even those who do not reciprocate with themselves. Their devotion is selfless. They are the true followers of the highest religion and the well-wishers of all living beings. And then there are those who are either spiritually satisfied, self-satisfied, or materially fulfilled, or are ungrateful, or envious of their superiors. Those persons will not even love those who love them. They are inimical. But Krishna explains, the reason I do not immediately reciprocate with my devotee, even if they worship me with all their hearts, is only to intensify their loving devotion toward me. Then they become like a poor man who gains great wealth and then loses it. In such anxiety, they cannot think of anything except what they lost. My dear gopis, Krishna says, you have abandoned everything for me. You have abandoned your social prestige. You have abandoned the Vedic principles and even the love of your families. Your devotion is spotless. I disappeared from you only because I wanted to increase your attachment to me. But while I was away, I was always thinking of you with love, so please do not harbor any bad feelings toward me. Then Krishna spoke those immortal words, I cannot repay you for your spotless devotion, even in a lifetime of Lord Brahma. So please, let your own glorious deeds be the compensation. Krishna revealed to the world the glory of pure devotional service. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami tells that the pleasures in this world are very insignificant and flickering. But the Vedic literatures describe the happiness, the perfect happiness of Brahman realization. But more perfect, infinitely more perfect, is the happiness of prema, or pure love of God. Rupa Goswami tells that compared to the ocean of joy one experiences in loving Krishna, the happiness of Brahman realization, mukti, is only like a drop. But then Sanatana Goswami, who quotes Krishna himself, that the most perfect revelation is prema, or love, in separation. Because that love intensifies one's absorption in the Supreme, and the Lord within the heart reciprocates accordingly. Then Krishna performs his rasa lila with the Braja Gopis. And to satisfy each and every one of their hearts' desires to serve him, to please him, they had not even a tinge of desire for their own personal concerns. They're willing to go to hell forever to relieve Krishna for headache for a moment, to please the devotee, the gopis' desire to serve him. He manifested himself between each gopi, so each one was personally, intimately with him. The acharyas explained the nature of this wonderful pastime. The gopis were in their original spiritual bodies. It was a pastime beyond the modes of material nature. It is actually Krishna who is the one supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, who is the only enjoyer and the only object of enjoyment. That one supreme Lord Krishna expands himself as all living entities simply for the reciprocation of love. And some acharyas give the analogy how, just like a child plays with his own reflection, Krishna's playing with his own expansions. This is the supreme, pristine glory of the pastimes of Vrindavan, which culminates in the love between Krishna and gopis. And Srila Prabhupada explains how Shukadeva Goswami, he was the most staunch renunciate. He didn't even see the dualities of this world. When he left his father, there were young ladies bathing naked. And when he walked by, they just went on bathing. When Vyasadev came looking for him, they all became very much in anxiety and put clothes on them. Vyasadev asked, "Why? I'm an old man. He's young like you. Why you were not disturbed when he came by?" I guess sometimes ladies understand the minds of men better than men understand the minds of men. They said because he doesn't see the difference between man and woman. He's beyond these dualities. But you're a grihastha, so you have to see these things. You may be a self-realized soul, but still you have to discriminate. So this is Shukadeva Goswami. Narada Muni, Parvat Muni, Vasishtha Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, Gautam Rishi, all these great sages are assembled for Maharaj Pariksit, Who is the purest, most worthy person to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam? Shukadev Goswami. This greatest of renunciates is extolling the supreme glory of the love of the gopis. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, crest jewel of sannyasis, he is teaching there is no prema, there is no pure spiritual love that is equal to that of the gopis of Vrindavan. And the Goswamis, Tyaktvatura Namashesha Mandalapati Srenim Sada Tuchava. They were young, they were handsome, they were wealthy, they had power, they gave up everything to wear kopan, live under tree on the cold soil of Brajbhumi. Crest jewel of all renunciates. But they revealed to the world the absolute purity of the pastimes between Krishna and gopis as the highest expression of the ecstatic love between the soul and God. That is Sharad Purnima, which we are celebrating today. It is also the disappearance day of Murari Gupta, who is Hanuman in the Leela of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a doctor. In fact, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, he is the presiding deity. That when we first began this project, this was our mood. That the doctors should follow in the footsteps of Murari Gupta. One time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was just Nimai, when he was playing his Leela as Nimai, before he manifested his supreme opulence of manifesting the Sankirtan movement, he would ridicule Murari Gupta. He said, Murari, what are you studying all these Vedas for? You're just a doc. You're a doctor. You should just go home and play with your leaves and your herbs and your different potions. Hare Krishna. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing Krishna Prem to the world, he glorified his devotees. In Jagannath Puri, in his abode, the Gambira, he extolled the glories of Murari Gupta. Said, people who have misconception, they think that he's just a householder who's a doctor. But actually, because of his love for Krishna, Ramchandra, he is doctor for the body, for the mind, and for the soul. Even if somebody comes to him for relief from their physical condition, he will give them Krishna consciousness. He will give them love of God. That is the power of Murari Gupta. He appears like a doctor, appears like a grihasta. But Murari Krishna is Gupta, hidden secretly within his heart. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very strong. Anyone who simply thinks he's a doctor will be condemned to hellish sufferings for their offense. Murari Gupta, we bow our heads to on this day. And in a few days, it is the disappearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Srila Prabhupada has spoken that the beautiful writings of Narottam Das Thakur that we sing every day. It is an institution within our temples for Guru Puja, for the disappearance day of Vaishnavas. Although written in simple Bengali language, they have the power to
to reveal the essence of all the Vedas.
Narottam Das Thakur was the son of a king who had tremendous power, tremendous wealth. But he left everything to go to Vrindavan. On the calling of Lord Chaitanya and with the blessings of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And there he approached Lokanath Goswami for initiation. Lokanath Goswami was worshipping his deity of Radha Vinod. I have never initiated anyone in my life. What is my qualification? And now my beloved Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has disappeared from this world. Sanatan Goswami has left this world. Rupa Goswami has left this world. I can do nothing but sit and cry in separation. What power do I have to help you? But Narottam Das wanted to serve. Any service. He will quietly every morning, very early, go to the place Lokanath Goswami would respond to nature and her calls and clean that place thoroughly before he took his bath in the Yamuna. But no one knew he did this. It was only between him and his love for his guru. But Lokanath Goswami was very much amazed. How is this place is so absolutely clean and fresh every morning when I come? So one day he came early and hid in the bushes. And there he sees Narottam Thakur cleaning. He could not contain himself. He jumped out. Narottam, what are you doing? You are the son of a prince. You are meant to be living in royalty. And you are cleaning my stool and my urine with your own hands? Why? Why do you demean yourself in this way? Thakur Narottam, with tears in his eyes and folded palms, revealed his heart of hearts. My beloved Guru Maharaj, yes, I have left the flickering, empty wealth of this world to receive the supreme treasure of menial service to my spiritual master. Lokanath Goswami's heart melted and he initiated Narottam Das Thakur. And the beautiful pastimes of Narottam Das Thakur, of how he spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love of God even to the most wicked, demoniac people. He was very much persecuted because he was Kayasta. And the greatest, most learned Brahmins were coming to take initiation from him. Narottam Das Thakur was blasphemed. There were threats to his life. But he went on preaching the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Also, on the night of Bahulastami is the appearance day of Sri Radha Kund. Rupa Goswami explains, in the universe the earth is very holy because the Lord comes so many times. And on earth, India, Bharat Bhumi is most holy because so many incarnations have manifest here. And in India, the district of Mathura is the most holy
Because Krishna appeared, the original source of all avatars. And in Mathura, the forest of Vrindavan, where Krishna performs his Rasa Leela and his most confidential pastimes with his devotees. But of all places of Vrindavan, Govardhan is most holy. Krishna lifted that hill with the little finger of his left hand. And Krishna performs pastimes that fully satisfy all of his devotees most intimately. But of all places, at Govardhan, Radha Kund is the supreme holy place in the entire creation of Brahma. Because it is here that Radha's love for Krishna is manifested like nowhere else. Aristasura attacked Vrindavan. Krishna liberated him. Sri Radha, to invoke Krishna's love, she complains, I will not touch you now. You killed a male cow. But he was a demon. He may have been a demon, but still he was a cow. You are Govinda. You're supposed to give pleasure to cows. What do I have to do? I should bathe in all the holy places. So with Krishna's, the heel of Krishna's foot, he made a hole in the ground and called all the holy places to fill up. Shamakund. But then Sri Radha wanted her own bathing place. Krishna told that he said, you sided with a demon. You should bathe in my kund. No, how can I bathe in this kund? Because you bathed in it after killing a cow. I will make my own kund. And her and gopis were digging with their bracelets. And then all the holy places personified came out of Shamkund and begged Sri Radha, please let us fill your kund. And for the pleasure of Krishna, she said yes. This took place in the month of Kartik, the appearance of Radha Kund. Also, appearance of Birbhadra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu. Most powerful preacher. Many stories about Birbhadra. I will tell one because we're getting late. Not getting, we're already late. Should I end now, Prajahari? Okay, on your order, I will continue for a few more minutes. In Khetri Gram, where Narottam Das Thakur was performing wonderful festival in honor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Purnima festival, Birbhadra came, the son of Nityananda Prabhu, disciple of Janava. And he was dancing in kirtan. How he was dancing! Everyone who saw this dancing was filled with Krishna prema. People were talking about it. People were crying in spiritual happiness. And there was a blind man. He was in the crowd. And he heard everyone describing the glories of Birbhadra's dance. And he longed to see that dance. And suddenly, in front of everybody, the blind man's eyes opened, became normal, only to see Birbhadra's dance. And they filled with tears. He danced in ecstatic love. And he never wanted to see anything else again. That was enough.
That moment of having the sight to see Virabhadra's dance was good enough for him. He didn't even want to keep his eyesight. His life was perfect. The Shakti of the Nityananda Prabhu. And the day of Diwali is when the Damodar Leela was enacted by Lord Krishna. Yashoda Mai was turning her butter early, turning yogurt into butter. And while she was churning, she was singing sweet songs describing Krishna's loving pastimes with his devotees, his wonderful qualities, his beautiful form. And as she was remembering Krishna, out of her motherly affection, milk flowed from her breast. And Krishna, who is sleeping in bed, his reciprocation with the service of his devotees and their loving sentiments is not bound by any geographical considerations. When milk came from her, Krishna woke up hungry for that milk. So he, little child, ran to Yashoda and pulled her sari. She was churning. And he held the churning rod and said, "No, I am here. Give me your milk." So she sat down and placed Krishna on lap and fed him. Meanwhile, milk, the Padmaganda milk, very, very special milk, very, very special. It was boiling over in the next room. That milk was for a special preparation for Krishna. So she placed Krishna down and ran to save. Krishna became angry. He took a stone, broke the pot with the yogurt, the butter, and ate it. Then he went into the next room. Yashoda Mai comes back. Krishna's not there. She sees little butter footprints and she follows, and there she sees in the next room, Krishna has turned a wooden grinding mortar upside down and he's standing on it and reaching up to a pot that's hanging by ropes from the ceiling and stealing the butter and eating it and feeding it to monkeys. But when the monkeys saw Yashoda, they ran, started jumping through windows, and Krishna's looking, and Yashoda Mai is with a stick, and Krishna sees her, jumps down from the grinding mortar, runs, and she's running, and he's running, and she's running, and he's running. And as she's running, she has flowers in her hair, and some of the flowers fell. There were two groups of flowers. Some were on Yashoda's side, some were on Gopal's side. The one on Yashoda's side, they were thinking she should catch Krishna and our extra weight may slow her down, so let's jump down. And those who were on Krishna's side, they were thinking she's going to catch Krishna. We don't want to be a part of the conspiracy of this offense. So they jumped down to not be a part of it. Now even the greatest sages, they cannot catch Krishna through their meditation. Krishna's faster than the wind, faster than the speed of mind. But he was caught by Yashoda Mai. And Prabhupada explains in this beautiful purport today what happened then. Krishna appears to be in pain. He's crying. He sees Yashoda's stick. Says, "I promise, I won't ever do it again. I promise, I will not do it again. I'm guilty, I'm guilty." Now, if you go into a court of law, if you plead guilty, you're hoping that you'll get some special mercy. So Krishna pleads guilty. I did it, but I promise I'll never do it again. Please put down that stick. And tears are pouring from his lotus-like eyes, mixing with the blackish mascara and these beautiful black streaks are streaming down his beautiful, his most exquisite form, which is the complexion of tamal tree. Yashoda Mai throws her stick away. But she had household duties to perform, and she was very much afraid for Krishna's safety. Now in Bhagavad Gita we find that one who is self-realized is free of fear. Bhajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanada vindare. If we just take shelter of Krishna, Nandanandana, we become fearless. Take shelter of the son of Nanda and you're fearless. And here's Yashoda, the wife of Nanda, who's full of fear. But this fear is higher than fearlessness, because she was fearful for Krishna in her intimate motherly love. That expression gives more pleasure to Krishna than the fearless yogis living in the caves amongst scorpions and snakes and tigers without fear. So she went to bound Krishna with rope so that he would not subject himself to any more dangers. And she took that rope that was used to tie the calves or the cows' legs when they would milk. But it was two fingers too short. It would not go around Krishna's waist. She brought more rope, tied it to the original rope. Two fingers too short. More and more rope. Soon gopis from all directions were bringing ropes, all different colored ropes. It was a festival of ropes. They were tying more and more and more rope, and again around Krishna's little waist. Krishna's waist was not growing. It was the same. The ropes were growing, and his waist was still the same little waist. But somehow or other, however many ropes and ropes and ropes, it was always exactly two fingers too short. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains what these two fingers represent. If we want to capture Krishna, two things are required. One is our own very serious, determined endeavor. But that's not enough. If through our endeavor we are genuinely sincere, we receive Krishna's mercy. Our own endeavor and Krishna's mercy, when they are combined, we can catch Krishna. Yashoda Mai bound Krishna on the day of Diwali. And as Devamrit Prabhu, our beloved president of Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan, sang so nicely today during Damodarastakam, Krishna wanted to show the world that he is only bound by the pure love of his devotee. Sometimes Prabhupada say, the impersonalists, they want to become God, but a devotee can become better than God. Krishna becomes subordinate to the love of his devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I become the prisoner in the house of my, in the heart, prisoner in the heart of my devotee. That is the deepest, highest of all truths. And then, of course, Krishna wanted to perform more mischief, and he pulled the grinding mortar between the two Arjun trees and they broke. And these were not little trees. They were massive trees. Recently I was with the Gurukuli bus tour in Northern California. We went to King's Canyon in the Sequoia National Forest, where the largest tree in the world is there. The General Sherman tree. It's very big. It is written there that if a 6-foot man, I'll go, if an ant looks up at a 6-foot man, he'll experience the same thing as if a 6-foot man looks up at the General Sherman tree. I was looking up, and I'm only 5'6". So according to this analogy, I'm less than an ant. Well, these twin Arjuna trees were bigger than that. They were huge trees. Dwapar Yuga. And Krishna just pulls. Nala Kuvera, Manigriva come out. They offended Narada Muni, and Narada Muni blessed them with the curse to become trees so that they would get purified by watching Krishna's pastimes. They offered prayers and went back to their abodes. And a few days later, in the month of Kartik, is Govardhan Puja. That is the day that Nanda Maharaj is performing his yajna for Lord Indra. And Krishna very expertly convinces him. Why? Everything's happening by karma. If you do good karma, then Indra has to give you rain. If you do bad karma, he can't give you rain. So we don't need Indra, we just have to do good karma. And what's our best karma? Serving the Brahmins, the cows, and Govardhan Hill. So let's perform puja to Govardhan. Nanda said, okay, after we do Indra puja, we'll do that. He said, no. Let's take everything for Indra puja and offer it to Govardhan Hill, to the Brahmins and to the cows. To please Krishna is their only concern. So they performed wonderful Govardhan puja under Krishna's direction. They made mountains and mountains and mountains of bhoga and lakes of liquid bhoga. And then they offered it. And Govardhan manifested a gigantic personal form. And with his long arms, he ate everything. And then by his will, he manifested everything as his Mahaprasad. Krishna bowed down, and all the Vrijavasis bowed down. And on that day, Krishna revealed that he was none different than Govardhan Hill. And then Krishna took everyone after eating prasad. Everyone of all categories was distributed sumptuous Mahaprasad. And then they all did the parikrama. The first parikrama of Giriraj was led by Krishna and Balaram and all Vrijavasis. Then everything was so happy except Indra. This talkative child has taken all of my offerings and convinced Nanda to give it to a mountain? They must be punished. Must set an example of this. He really went overboard. Sometimes managers do that. Sometimes to set an example so that other people get the message, you really go overboard. So he called the Samvartaka clouds, the clouds of devastation, not the monsoon clouds that flood Bombay in 30 inches of water, the clouds that flood the entire planet. And it wasn't raining drops, it was raining pillars, lightning, darkness. The Vrijavasis, they consider Krishna only their friend, their child, or their lover. But in such a situation, They had no other shelter. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, with folded palms they approached Lord Govinda. That Indra's very angry, and we did this for you. And look at your cows. Look at the bulls. They're just, they're screaming into the sky because of all this rain. And the calves are just trembling under their mothers for shelter. Krishna said, come with me. And he walked to the Giriraj Govardhan Hill. And as effortlessly as a child picks up a mushroom, he lifted Govardhan Hill and held it above his hand with the little finger of his left hand. He called all Brijvasis, please come. Those were the happiest days. Because Viparalamba Sambhog, the playing of sometimes being with everyone in Vrindavan, was sometimes with Krishna and sometimes not. The gopas would be with him all day, but all night long they would be in separation from him. The gopis would be with him at night sometimes, but then all day they'd be in separation, Yashoda, Nanda, everyone. But for these 7 days and seven nights, everyone was with Krishna 24 hours a day, seeing this beautiful darshan of Giriraj, Giridhari. And he was glancing upon each devotee, reciprocating with their innermost heart's desires. It was a most beautiful experience. Krishna transformed what was an apparent disaster into the most wonderful pastime of love. Meanwhile, Indra's thunderbolts and lightning and sending tornadoes, hurricanes, cyclones to try to somehow or other get that mountain off his finger. But nothing worked. 7 days of the most torrential storms in history. And Indra did not have the power to even separate one leaf from the hundreds and thousands of trees on Govardhan Hill. He did not have the power of even separating a blade of grass from the ground. Because feeling the little tip of Krishna's finger under him, Govardhan, Giriraj, was ecstatic. And as there was a big storm on top of the hill, below the hill, was the sweetest pastime of Krishna's loving exchanges with his devotees. Indra gave up. The sun came out. Krishna told everyone, now you can go home. But no one wanted to go home. Ultimately, they all left for the pleasure of Krishna. And the cows, they were going, and then they turned around and saw Krishna standing like this, and they all ran back. And Krishna, with his head, he herded them out and placed the hill down. And Indra was really, really ashamed. I tried to destroy God. I was such an illusion, so much false pride, so much prestige. When you become attached to your prestige, when you expect honor, this is to the degree you could lose your intelligence. Very dangerous. So he approached Brihaspati. What should I do? Brihaspati said, you made a huge mistake. You can't approach Krishna. You have to approach someone that is very dear to Krishna. If that person begs to forgiveness on your behalf, only then will Krishna recognize you. So here is Indra, king of heaven, on his Airavata elephant carrier. And he approaches Surabhi, mother cow. A mother of cows. And he falls at her hooves and begs forgiveness. Please approach Krishna on my behalf. And Surabhi approaches Krishna. That Indra is feeling very bad. Please forgive him. And Krishna forgave him. And then they performed the Abhishek at Govindakund, where Indra proclaimed that
Krishna is the supreme Indra. He is the Lord of all lords.
And then there is the disappearance day of Vasudev Ghosh, one of the most intimate personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and author of beautiful songs that we still sing today. And soon after that is the disappearance day of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who left Vrindavan in 1965 to fulfill the order of His spiritual master and the prediction of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, to transform the sufferings of this age of Kali by spreading the highest, most perfect essence of love of God through the Nam Sankirtan movement. He left Vrindavan at the age of 69 and came here to Bombay. And of all places in Bombay, it was here at Juhu Beach that he approached Sumati Morarji, begged her, "Give me a passage on one of your boats to the west." She said, "No, Swamiji. It is so cold and it's so dangerous. You will die. I cannot." Prabhupada persisted. He sat on the steps of her office and would not leave. Now, one of our most wonderful devotees, Srinathji Prabhu, he became a devotee through the same strategy. Giriraj Swami Maharaj went to his office to give him some prasad. He never met these. Srinathji Prabhu at the time was a very, very young but stalwart business person. Had his PhD at an American university, MA in London. He did not want to meet sadhus, because usually what do sadhus go to big business people for? Money. Bakshish, donations. Help build a temple here, do this for me. He did not want to see this sadhu. So the secretary came in and said, there's this sadhu out here, this American sadhu, he wants to meet you. He said, "No, tell him I'm busy." Giriraj Swami Maharaj waited there in the waiting room for about 8 hours, patiently just chanting, knowing that Srinathji had to come out that door. He waited and waited and waited. Srinathji says, that brahmachari is still here? He'll leave. He just went on with his work. He'll leave. But finally, Srinathji had to leave. And Giriraj Swami, waiting hour after hour after hour, all day long, he was just so fresh and so cheerful. He said, "I just came to give you prasad." And he gave him some nice mahaprasad. And Srinathji Prabhu was thinking, "This is a sadhu." And they developed their relationship. He brought him to Prabhupada. So where did Giriraj Maharaj get these techniques? From his beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, who sat on the outside Sumati Maharaj's office and would not move until he got that ticket. Because he wanted to give the sweet Mahaprasad of Krishna to the whole world. And finally she gave the ticket. He went to Calcutta by train. Then he went to Mayapur and prayed at the Samadhi Mandir of his Guru Maharaj. Then went to various temples and to Shantipur to get the blessings of Advaita Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then on Friday, the 13th of August, 1965, he boarded Jaladuta.
with 40 rupees, equivalent to $7, and knowing no one outside of India. At the beginning of the trip on the Arabian Sea, 2 heart attacks, seasickness. But such determination. And there was no doctors, no medical help. But he carried on. And over 30 days later, he arrived in New York City. Came off the boat. Was anyone going to be waiting? He didn't know. A stranger from Traveler's Aid happened to meet him. When Prabhupada first came off, he didn't see anybody. He was just looking around. He has no money. He doesn't know anyone. He's in New York City. He's now 70 years old. But Prabhupada said, I had no fear because I knew I was empowered by the order of my guru and I had my books, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Butler, Pennsylvania for some time. Then he lived in the ghetto of the Bowery. Life threats, poverty. His possessions were stolen by thieves. But he persevered. Such compassion. Such compassion. He prayed on Jaladutta, Krishna, just let me be your puppet and make me dance the way you dance. And how Srila Prabhupada danced. 12 years later, by 1977, he had a worldwide movement with over 100 temples, thousands of initiated disciples, tens and thousands of followers, millions and millions of books distributed. And from that little room in Radha Damodar, now there was the most beautiful temple of Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir. And on this day, in the month of Kartik, while devotees, thousands and thousands all over the world were chanting and praying for him, and hundreds were surrounding his bed, he revealed to the world the supreme most perfect departure. In the land of Vrindavan, his home, surrounded by hundreds of his loving disciples, chanting the holy names, in the month of Kartik, Srila Prabhupada returned to Krishna. And a few days later, the reason it's a long class is because there's so many things that happen in Kartik. And Brajahari Prabhu, Gopastami. Gopastami is the day when Krishna enters into his age of Poganda, that he's given charge of the cows. In his Kumara Leela, he's given charge of the calves. One of the biggest festivals of the year in Nandagaon takes place on Gopastami. Where they have two little boys dressed as Krishna Balaram, and they take them on palanquins and sing beautiful songs and bring them to the various places like Terakadamba, where Krishna would perform his leelas on the day of Gopastami. It is written that when Krishna was going out to herd the cows, Yashoda Mai, she made brand new shoes just for Krishna. Krishna said to Yashoda Mai that I am the servant of the cows. How can I have something the cows don't have? If you make shoes for all the cows, then I'll wear these shoes. Now Nanda Maharaj happened to have 900,000 cows. And each one needs 4 shoes. So for those of you who are mathematic or have some kind of calculator, you can tell us later how many shoes she would have had to make. So Krishna went out barefoot.
to herd the cows on this glorious day of Gopastami, where the love between Krishna and his cows is honored and worshipped. It is also the disappearance day of Srinivasacharya, Gadadhar Das, one of the great associates of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who fearless preached. Srinivasacharya, what can we say about Srinivasacharya? His contribution to our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya as a preacher, as a writer, as an example, will live forever. And also Dhananjay Pandit's disappearance day, an associate of Nityananda Prabhu. And a few days later in the month of Kartik is the disappearance of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambra Sambodhe Padambo Jayatani. He's the very personification of renunciation, who was always immersed in the highest feelings of love and separation. Although he was not highly literate, his understanding of the essence of bhakti was so deep, so profound, that the greatest scholar of the time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, chose him to be his spiritual master and take initiation. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave all credit for his powerful, powerful distribution of Krishna consciousness, the amazing literatures he produced, the tens and thousands of people he transformed. He gave all that credit to his father, Bhaktivinod Thakur, and his guru, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Also in the month of Kartik, Bhugarbha Goswami, an intimate associate of Lokanath Goswami, disciple of Gadadhar, of the Panchatattva. Kashishwar Pandit, one of Lord Chaitanya's godbrothers, a disciple of Ishwarapuri, who on the order of his guru became Lord Chaitanya's personal assistant, personal servant along with Govinda for those leelas. And ultimately was sent to Vrindavan by Lord Chaitanya to help Rupa Goswami in the seva of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. And on the last day of Kartik, the appearance day of the great Acharya Nimbarka and Sri Krishna's Rasa Yatra. The month of Kartik is specially presided over by the personification of all love and devotion, the pleasure potency of the Lord, Srimati Radharani. And therefore, any sincere spiritual efforts we make on the path of bhakti in the month of Kartik are intensified by the blessings of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. Why? To give us special opportunity to perfect our lives. Srila Prabhupada gave us this beautiful temple. With so much difficulty, he provided us Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple. And temples all over the world, so that we can access this greatest treasure of all treasures, the treasure of pure devotional service for Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. In the association of devotees, by hearing their glories, by serving their desires, and by chanting their holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much.